So it's my great pleasure today to welcome my friend Neil Donald Walsh. I think he really doesn't need any introduction, but since we are recording this for posterity, I'm going to say a few words. I think all of us, ever since we became conscious, if we have even a little bit of curiosity, have wondered about the perennial questions that humanity has asked of itself. Where did I come from? What am I doing here? The very fact of my existence is a perpetual surprise. And is there any meaning or purpose to my existence? Does God exist? And if she does she care about me? And what happens to me after I die? All of us have asked these questions as children. And yet, as we grow up, we become so absorbed with other mundane, trivial, unimportant things that we, in a sense, lose connection with the mystery of existence. It's an amazing mystery. I've looked or tried to look at it from a scientific point of view, and every now and then, as you neurobiology, you think you're getting closer to the mystery, and the closer you seem to get, the more mysterious it becomes. So after Neil has finished speaking tonight, I'm going to tell you a little bit about my own search for this mysterious being and what I have recently learned, as I've traveled through the world and met with some really amazing intellects to look at nature through the eyes of science, because I do believe that science also ultimately is going to lead us to the same place that spirituality has led us. But today we have the great honor of having Neil Donald Walsh. In 1992, Neil's life was transformed when, in frustration, he fired off an angry letter to God, asking the questions from his heart, but really the questions all of us want answers to, the kinds of questions I raised. And to his great surprise, he received an answer. This divine dialogue lasted for over 3 years and became a book which has astounded seekers all over the world with its simplicity, its elegance, and its truth. It has also made publishing history. It's an unprecedented bestseller and has been on the New York Times bestseller list. And since then, of course, Conversations with God Book 2 reached the bestseller list shortly after its release in June of 1997. And now, most recently, Conversations with God Number 3 is also here. I just came back from a trip to the Far East. I was in Hong Kong and Singapore, in Australia, in the Philippines, in Manila, and in the Middle East. And wherever I went, many, many book signings and bookstores, everywhere you could see people were carrying Conversations with God. And they had the latest one as well. And so Neil Donald Walsh has, before his present incarnation as this direct computer link to the infinite mind, has been a newspaper reporter and managing editor, a radio station program director, public information officer for one of the nation's largest public school systems, creator and owner of his own advertising and marketing firm, and a nationally syndicated radio talk show host. He has now retired from that incarnation and now serving as an extraordinary channel to the forces of creativity that permeate our cosmos. He's the founder of ReCreation, a nonprofit organization which sponsors lectures, workshops, and retreats across the country for persons interested in personal growth and spiritual understanding. Neil and his wife Nancy, and Nancy is here with us, sitting in the front row. Please welcome Nancy as well. have a home in Southern Oregon, and as I said, I feel very privileged and very honored that Neil has graced us with his presence here. So tell us your story, Neil, and what's it all about?
Thank you, Deepak. Before I begin, I can't help but reflect on the fact that there are very few human beings on the planet who have done more to expand our awarenesses, enlarge our understandings, enrich our experience of our holy selves, and prepare us for this next extraordinary time in the human adventure than Deepak Chopra. And it is I. Something very extraordinary happened to me. And what is extraordinary, really, when you think about it, is not what happened so much as the fact that people would find it extraordinary. That's really what's unusual about it. And I am aware that that there is one lie in the Conversations with God dialogue. And it's a huge lie, inadvertent as it may be, but it's a big one. And it's a big lie because it's right there on the cover of the book. It says an uncommon dialogue. And if I had it to do over again, I wouldn't have put that there. But once it's out there, you know you can't get it back. Like a lot of other parts of my life, actually. It turns out there's nothing uncommon about this dialogue or what happened to me. I was upstairs in the library a while ago, thinking about what I could say to such a group of people as this. These are the cognoscenti here. These are those who know. You know, there are those who know and those who don't know. If you look around, I mean, really, at some level, we all know, but sometimes we don't know that we know. Do you know what I mean? There are those who don't know, and they don't know that they don't know. They are as children, innocent, and it is ours to nurture them and to encourage them. And then there are those who don't know, and who know that they don't know. They are willing. Teach them. And then there are those who don't know, but who think that they know. They are dangerous. Avoid them. And then there are those who know, but they don't know that they know. They are asleep. Wake them. And then there are those who know and who know that they know. Do not follow them, because if they know that they know, they would not have you follow them. But listen very carefully to what they have to say, because they may remind you of what you too already know. And in the reminding is the delicious moment of awareness, when we see again what we've always known. We are reminded, and we remember. I mean, we become a member once again. We remember who we really are. And as I was thinking of what could I say to a group like this of the cognoscenti, of those who know, and who know that they know, I was looking through the books upstairs in Deepak's wonderful library. I thought, maybe I can find something here that could inspire me. I don't know. And my wife said, look. It's a copy of Conversations with God. And I thought, well, you know, I really was going to look on the shelf just to get a line or a quote or something, you know, to begin with. You know how you do when you do 100 of these a year, you try to find something new.
You know what that phenomenon is called?
What is that?
A causal non-local quantum mechanical interference.
I was thinking that this morning. When I woke up, I thought, A causal... I knew that.
How could you not with that connection?
So I thought, well, I'm going to open the book and just any place. Since I was given this book, you know, handed this book, I really wasn't looking for it. But handed it, I thought, well, I'm just going to open it and see what it has to say to me. And I opened it just, and now I've held the page so I could hold the page, but I opened it to this page, and it said, well, whether you're frustrated, this is what I'm talking about now, frustrated or not, I still wonder how it can be that heaven is right here and I don't experience it. And here's the answer that God gave me in this dialogue. You cannot experience what you don't know. And you don't know you are in heaven right now because you have not experienced it. You see, for you, it is a vicious circle. You cannot experience what you do not know, and you do not know what you have not experienced. What enlightenment asks you to do is to know something you have not experienced, and thus experience it. Knowing opens the door to experience, and you imagine it is the other way around. Actually, you know a great deal more than you have experienced. You simply don't know that you know. You know that there is a God, for instance, but you may not know that you know that. So you keep waiting around for the experience, and all the while you keep having it. Yet you are having it without knowing, which is like not having it at all. I thought, well, that's a good beginning. I would like to just spend a few minutes with you tonight, just sharing a bit of my experience and answering some questions that have been asked of me everywhere I go. And so I'm kind of used to the questions now, and I thought I would just preempt some of the questions here. Just get right to the answer, you know. The first question that I'm asked, and the question I'm asked most frequently by people everywhere, and the media especially, is, you know, because the media doesn't know quite what to do with me, you know. They don't know where to put me. Although I know where to put it. The question I'm asked most often by the media especially is, do you really believe that you talk to God? Come on, fess up. And I have to disappoint them because I say, of course I believe that. I did speak with God. And that's my direct experience. So I wanted to just tell all of you, in case there's any question about that, that I have the direct experience of having spoken directly to God. But I also want to come right behind that and say that it is really not an unusual experience. And most of us have had the experience. It's just that not many of us know it. And of those of us who know it, not many of us are saying it out loud. I mean, we're not walking down the street and telling everyone, I spoke to God this morning before breakfast. Unless we do. But yes, I have a great clarity that I spoke directly to deity, and that's my experience of it. And I don't equivocate about that. The first chance I had to equivocate was just after the book was in the hands of the publisher, and they called and said, can we change the title? Do we have to call it Conversations with God? I said, you don't have to call it Conversations with God if someone else's name is on the cover, but if my name is on the cover, you have to call it that, because that's what it was. And he said, well, you know, this is going to be hard for some people to take. I said, well, then don't publish the book. because we have to stay with the truth. And the truth is, I had a conversation with God, and it's going